الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue, inshallah, the explanation of the treatise Foundation of Tafsir by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And we were talking last night about the following matters. To summarize the titles, first, all of what is being said so far concerns the Noble Quran. What is the Quran linguistically, and what it's what does it mean Islamically, and the descriptions of the Noble Quran and its effects and its blessings, then the sending down of the Noble Quran, how it was sent, what was the first verses or surahs or chapters that were sent down, and the third matter that we discussed last night was that sending the Quran is of two types, initial and due to a cause. And also there was an explanation of the benefits behind knowing the reasons for sending the specific reasons for sending certain verses or chapters. And now we go to the following title: عموم اللفظ وخصوص السبب, the general wording and the particularity of the cause, the general wording and the particularity of the cause. If the verse sent down due to a particular reason, and yet its wording is general, then its ruling is comprehensive, comprising the cause and everything contained in the wording. Why? It is because the Quran was sent down as a general legislation for the entire Ummah, and therefore the relevance pertains to the general wording, not to the particular cause. Take for example the verses of li'an, the verses of li'an, of cursing. What is this li'an? The verses of li'an, this is an oath taken by both the wife and the husband when he accuses his wife of committing illegal sexual intercourse. And it is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Chapter 24, verses 6 till 9. 24, verses 6 till 9. And for those who accuse their wives but have no witnesses except themselves, let the testimony of one of them be four testimonies. To testify four times by Allah that he is one of those who speak the truth. And the fifth testimony should be invoking of the curse of Allah on him if he be of those who tell a lie against her, but it shall avert the punishment, but it shall avert the punishment of stoning to death from her if she bears witness four times by Allah that he, her husband, is telling a lie. And the fifth testimony should be that the wrath of Allah be upon her if he, her husband, speaks the truth. These are called ayatul li'an, the verses of li'an, which is the oath taken by both the wife and the husband when he accuses his wife of committing illegal sexual intercourse. These verses were revealed as in Sahih al-Bukhari due to a certain cause. And this came in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that Hilal bin Umayyah, may Allah be pleased with him, accused his wife of committing illegal sexual intercourse with Shuraik bin Sahma, and filed the case before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hilal, either you bring forth a proof, four witnesses, or you will receive the legal punishment of lashes on your back. Hilal said, O Allah's Messenger, if anyone of us saw a man over his wife, would he go to seek after witnesses? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on saying, either you bring forth the witnesses or you will receive the legal punishment of lashes on your back. Hilal then said, by him who sent you with the truth, I am telling the truth, and Allah will reveal to you what will save my back from legal punishment. Jibreel Gabriel came down and revealed to him the verses that we read earlier from Surah An-Nur. As for those who accuse their wives, to the end of the verse, or verse 9. The Prophet ﷺ recited till he reached, her accuser speaks the truth. Then the Prophet ﷺ left and sent for the woman. And Hilal went and brought her, and then took the oaths confirming the claim. The Prophet ﷺ was saying, Allah knows that one of you is a liar. So will any of you repent? Then the woman got up and took the oath, and when she was going to take the fifth one, the people stopped her and said, it, meaning the fifth oath, will definitely bring Allah's curse on you if you are guilty. So she hesitated and recoiled from taking the oath so much that we thought that she would withdraw her denial. But then she said, I will not dishonor my family all through these days, and carried on the process of taking oaths. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, watch her, if she delivers a black-eyed child with big hips and fat chins, then it is Shuraik bin Samha's child. Later she delivered a child of that description. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the case was not settled by Allah's law, I would punish her severely. This hadith was reported in Sahih Bukhari, volume 6, number 271. So, these ayat, therefore, these verses came down because of the accusation of Hilal bin Umayyah to his wife. However, its ruling is general and comprehensive in the sense that it applies to other than Hilal bin Umayyah and his wife. And what is the evidence for this comprehensibility? This lies in the other narration reported by Al-Bukhari, in which Sahal bin Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Uwaymir came to Asim bin Adi, who was the chief of Bani Ajlan, and said, What do you say about a man who has found another man with his wife? Should he kill him whereupon you would kill him, meaning the husband, or what should he do? Please ask Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this matter on my behalf. Asim then went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Allah's Messenger, and asked him the question. But Allah's Messenger disliked the question and considered it shameful. And when Uwaymir asked Asim about the Prophet's answer, he replied that Allah's Messenger disliked such questions and considered it shameful. Uwaymir then said, By Allah, I will not give up asking unless I ask Allah's Messenger about it. And Uwaymir came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Allah's Messenger, a man has found another man with his wife. Should he kill him, whereupon you would kill him, meaning kill the husband, in the form of qisas, as a retaliation, in equality and punishment? Or what should he do? Allah's Messenger said, Allah has revealed regarding you and your wife's case in the Quran. So Allah's Messenger ordered them to perform the measures of mula'ana. Mula'ana meaning li'an, taking the oath. According to what Allah had mentioned in His book, and this is the point of evidence. So this hadith again indicates to us that the Prophet ﷺ made these verses comprehensive in terms of their applicability, whether they apply to Hilal bin Umayyah and to other than Hilal bin Umayyah, as long as the case is similar. So from this, therefore, we conclude the following, which was the title for this subject tonight, that the relevance is in the general wording, not in the particularity of the cause. Is this inshallah clear? Now, fourth point concerning the Quran, the Meccan and Medinite revelations. The Quran was brought down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in stages of 23 years, divided in parts. Most of that time was spent, meaning the Prophet's time was spent in Mecca. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this respect in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 106, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. And it is the Quran which we have divided into parts in order that you might recite it to men in intervals. And we have revealed it by stages in 23 years. And that's why the scholars, that's no problem, the scholars, may Allah's mercy upon them, classified the Quran into two classifications, the Meccanite and the Medinite. The Meccan Quran, the definition of which is as follows: that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before his migration to Medina. And the Medinite, as to its definition, it means that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his migration to Medina, although the place of revelation may be outside Medina. And accordingly, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last part of Surah of Surah, of verse 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the last part of verse 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This is considered from thee, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. This is from the Madianite type, although it was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in the farewell pilgrimage on the plain of Arafah, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, reported from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said, we have known that day and that place during which this verse came down upon the Prophet ﷺ. The verse came down while he was standing in Arafah, on Arafah, the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Jumu'ah. Now what's the benefit? What's the benefit behind classifying the chapters into Meccanite and Madianite? First benefit is manifesting the eloquency of the Quran, in the sense that it addresses the people of Medina and the people of Mecca according to their own specific conditions. Secondly, it highlights the wisdom behind legislation, in the sense that it comes down in stages as necessitated by the situations. And thirdly, motivating the determination of people as to what is to be revealed, in the sense that people wait, yearning to the revelation that addresses their situations. What distinguishes the Meccanite revelation or type from the Medinite revelation? What distinguishes the Meccanite revelation from the Medinite revelation as regard to the style and substance is as follows. Number one, with respect to the style, most of the Meccan revelations, most of the Meccanite revelation is characterized by the strength of the style of addressing, because most of those addressed are people who turned away from the truth, and this is befitting their quality because of their haughtiness and arrogance. Read in this sense Suratay, the chapters of Al-Muddathir, Surat Al-Muddathir and Surat Al-Qamar. And I would like now to repeat that most of the Meccanite style is strong and intensive in its addressing, because it has words, magnificent words that would make the mountains tremble, because most of those addressed are those who turned away in arrogance, and therefore this would be best fitting to them. Recite in this sense Surah Al-Muddathir and Surah Al-Qamar. And I will play to you now, inshallah, the recitation of Surah Al-Qamar, and let us examine these words by contemplating them accordingly.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌّ وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٌّ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُو الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مهطعين إلى الداع يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسير.
The hour grew nigh and the moon was rent in twain, and if they behold a portent they turn away and say, prolonged illusion. They denied the truth and followed their own lust. Yet everything will come to a decision, and surely there hath come unto them news whereof the purport should deter. Effective wisdom, but warnings avail not. So withdraw from them, O Muhammad, on the day when the summoner summoneth unto a painful thing. With downcast eyes they come forth from the graves as they were locusts spread abroad. Hastening toward the summoner, the disbelievers say, this is a hard day.
كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وازدجر فدعا ربه أني مغلوب فانتصر ففتحنا أبواب السماء بماء منهمر وفجرنا الأرض عيونا فالتقى الماء على أمر قد قدر وحملناه على ذات ألواح ودسر تجري بأعيننا جزاء لمن كان كفر ولقد تركناها آية فهل من مدكر فكيف كان عذابي ونذر ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
The folk of Noah denied before them, ye, they denied our slave and said, a madman, and he was repulsed. So he cried unto his Lord, saying, I am vanquished, so give help. Then opened we the gates of heaven with pouring water, and caused the earth to gush forth springs, so that the waters met for a predestined purpose. And we carried him upon a thing of planks and nails, that ran upon the waters in our sight, as a reward for him who was rejected. And verily we left it as a token, but is there any that remembereth? Then see how dreadful was my punishment after my warnings. And in truth we have made the Qur'an easy to remember, but is there any that remembereth?
Now you can tell the strong wording of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the intensity and strength of the style in these verses and to the end of the chapter, again, because most of those addressed from the pagans were turning away in haughtiness and disdainfulness. As to the Madianite revelation, most of it comes in a mild style and ease of addressing, because most of those addressed are yielding and submitting. Read in this respect Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5. Secondly, most of the Meccanite revelation was characterized in the shortness of the verses, short verses, and strong argumentation, because most of those addressed were rejectionists. Disdainful. And thus they were addressed as their conditions necessitate. In this respect, read and listen to Surah At-Tur.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
والطور وكتاب مسطور في رق منشور والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور إن عذاب ربك لواقع ما له من دافع.
By the mount and the scripture inscribed on fine parchment unrolled and the house frequented and the roof exalted and the sea kept filled, lo, the doom of thy Lord will surely come to pass. There's none that can ward it off.
يَوْمَ تَمُورُ السَّمَاءُ مَوْرًا وَتَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ سَيْرًا فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ يَوْمَ يُدَعُّونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعًا هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا أَمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ.
On the day when the heaven will heave with awful heaving and the mountains move away with awful movement, then woe that day unto the deniers who play in talk of grave matters. The day when they are thrust with a disdainful thrust into the fire of hell, and it is said unto them, this is the fire which ye were wont to deny. Is this magic, or do ye not see?
إن المتقين في جنات ونعيم فاكهين بما آتاهم ربهم ووقاهم ربهم عذاب الجحيم كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون متكئين على سرر مصفوفة وزوجناهم بحور عين.
Endure the heat thereof, and whether ye are patient of it or impatient of it is all one for you. Ye are only being paid for what ye used to do. Lo, those who kept their duty dwell in gardens and delight, happy because of what their Lord hath given them, and because their Lord hath warded from them the torment of hell fire. And it is said unto them, eat and drink in hell as a reward for what ye used to do. Reclining on ranged couches, and we wed them unto fair ones with wide, lovely eyes.
والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء كل امرئ بما كسب رهين وأمددناهم بفاكهة ولحم مما يشتهون.
And they who believe and whose seed follow them in faith, we cause their seed to join them there, and we deprive them of naught of their life's work. Every man is a pledge for that which he hath earned, and we provide them with fruit and meat such as they desire.
يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ غِلْمَانٌ لَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونٌ وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ قَالُوا إنا كنا قبل في أهلنا مشفقين فمن الله علينا ووقانا عذاب السموم إنا كنا من قبل ندعوه إنه هو البر الرحيم.
There they pass from hand to hand a cup wherein is neither vanity nor cause of sin, and there go round waiting on them men servants of their own, as they were hidden pearls, and some of them draw near unto others questioning, saying, Lo, of old, when we were with our families, we were ever anxious. But Allah hath been gracious unto us, and hath preserved us from the torment of the breath of fire. Lo, we used to pray unto him of old. Lo, he is the benign, the merciful.
فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونٍ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ شَاعِرٌ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونِ قُلْ تَرَبَّصُوا فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّصِينَ أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Therefore warn men, O Muhammad, by the grace of Allah, thou art neither soothsayer nor madman. Or say they, he is a poet, one for whom we may expect the accident of time. Say unto them, expect your fill, lo, I am with you among the expectant. Do their minds command them to do this, or are they an outrageous folk? Or say they, he hath invented it, nay, but they will not believe.
فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُصَيْطِرُونَ أَمْ لَهُمْ سُلَّمٌ يَسْتَمِعُونَ فِيهِ فَلْيَأْتِ مُسْتَمِعُهُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُّبِينٍ أَمْ لَهُ الْبَنَاتُ وَلَكُمُ الْبَنُونَ أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا فَهُمْ مِنْ مَغْرَمٍ مُثْقَلُونَ.
Then let them produce speech the like thereof, if they are truthful. Or were they created out of naught? Or are they the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, but they are sure of nothing. Or do they own the treasures of thy Lord? Or have they been given charge thereof? Or have they any stairway unto heaven by means of which they overhear decrees? Then let their listener produce some warrant manifest. Or have ye daughters whereas ye have sons? Or askest thou, Muhammad, a fee from them so that they are plunged in debt?
أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ أَمْ لَهُمْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كِسْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَاقِطًا يَقُولُوا سَحَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ فذرهم حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي فيه يصعقون يوم لا يغني عنهم كيدهم شيئا ولا هم ينصرون وإن للذين ظلموا عذابا دون ذلك ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون واصبر لحكم ربك فإنك بأعيننا وسبح بحمد ربك حين تقوم ومن الليل فسبحه وإدبار النجوم.
Or possess they the unseen so that they can write it down? Or seek they to ensnare the messenger? But those who disbelieve, they are the ensnared. Or have they any god beside Allah? Glorified be Allah from all that they ascribe as partner unto Him. And if they were to see a fragment of the heaven falling, they would say, a heap of clouds. Then let them be, O Muhammad, till they meet their day, in which they will be thunder-stricken, a day in which their guile will not avail them, nor will they be helped. And verily for those who do wrong, there is a punishment beyond that, but most of them know not. So wait patiently, O Muhammad, for thy Lord's decree, for surely thou art in our sight, and him the praise of thy Lord when thou uprisest. And in the night time also him his praise, and at the setting of the stars.
Alhamdulillah. So this highlights the point that was made earlier, that most of the Meccanite, Jazakumullah khair lakar as well, most of the Meccanite revelation was characterized by short verses and strong arguments against the disbelievers, because most of those addressed were disdainful in their opposition, and they were rewarded, and they were addressed as their situation entails. And this was in Surah At-Tur is a vivid example. As to the Madianite revelation, most of the verses were long verses, as well as the rulings were enumerated without much arguments, because their situation entailed such a dealing. Read, for example, Ayatul Dain fi Surah Al-Baqarah. Read, for example, the lengthy verse concerning Ad-Dain, debt, as came in Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? Because the people are yielding and submissive and don't argue. This is concerning the style, the difference in the style between the Meccanite and the Madianite revelations. As to the issue of substance, most of the Meccanite revelation is directed at establishing the Tawheed, the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, and the correct aqeedah and the correct creed, especially as it pertains to the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of Divinity, singling Allah alone as the true God worthy of worship, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْبَعْثِ, and the believing in the resurrection, because most of those addressed denied such matters of belief. Like, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, who does bring life to the bones, to the crumbled bones, and the like of these verses. Alaykum salam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As to the Madianite revelation, most of it was concerned with detailing the worship and the transactions, because those addressed Tawheed already settled in their hearts, and as well as the correct creed. So therefore they needed what? They needed details concerning the worship and transactions. Also from the aspect of the substance, the Medinite revelation was extensive in mentioning the jihad, the striving for the cause of Allah and its rulings, and the hypocrites and their conditions. Why? Because the situation required so, since in that time jihad had been ordained and hypocrisy appeared, and this contrasts with the Meccan situation. Now, what is the benefit of learning the Medinite and the Meccanite revelations? Knowing the Meccanite and the Medinite revelation is one type of the types of knowledge of the Quran, and the important ones, because of the following benefits. Number one, making the eloquency of the Quran known in its highest degrees, in the sense of addressing each people in accordance with that which they need, either intensely or mildly, according to their situations. Secondly, manifesting the wisdom behind the legislation in its highest form, in the sense that it was brought gradually, starting with that of highest importance to that next in importance, and so forth, again in accordance to what those addressed, the situation and the conditions of those addressed entails, and in as much as or as far as their acceptance and their yielding is concerned. Thirdly, in this there is an education and learning and directing the dua to Allah, the callers to Allah, so that they follow the path of the Quran in its style and its substance, in as far as those being addressed are concerned, so that they start with that which is of highest importance, the next in importance, and so forth, utilizing intensity and style in its proper place, and utilizing mildness in its proper place. So being harsh where it necessitates and being mild where it necessitates. And fourthly, from the benefits of knowing the Medinite and Meccanite revelations is that through this we can distinguish the abrogating verses from those verses being abrogated. So when two verses are, one of them is a Meccanite and the other is a Medinite, then we will be able to distinguish that which is abrogating from that which is abrogated when the other conditions are met. Why? Because we know that the Medinite revelation came after the Meccanite revelation. So we would be know which came before from that which became later. And this issue of abrogation of text is affirmed with the previous nations. Take for example the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 93, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تُنَزَّلَ التَّوْرَاةِ. Okay, Sister Umm Ahmad, with all due respect to everyone, she is the one who takes care of the text here, and I thank Lekar very much. No problem, Akhi. Jazakum Allah khair for all your efforts. Okay. Now, most welcome everyone. All food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel made unlawful for himself before the Torah was revealed. Also we read in Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 50, وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. All of these verses indicate the abrogation in the previous nations. And I have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah. This is Jesus, peace be upon him, telling the children of Israel. And I have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, and to make lawful to you part of what was forbidden to you. And I have come to you with a proof from your Lord, so fear Allah and obey. Another evidence for the presence of abrogation in the previous nations. So through the Meccanite and through the Medanite revelation, one will be able to distinguish that the verses that are abrogating from those being abrogated. Now, what is the wisdom behind sending the Quran in parts, in stages, over 23 years? Through the distinction between the Meccanite and the Medinite revelation, we can tell that the Quran came down on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in parts and in stages, and that this process, behind this process, there are many, many wisdoms. The first wisdom, تثبيت قلب النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strengthening the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الله تعالى وقال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة كذلك يعني كذلك نزلناه مفرقا لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. In Surah Al-Furqan 25:32, and those who disbelieved say, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? See, trying to cast doubt. Thus it is sent down in parts that we may strengthen your heart thereby. And we have revealed it to you gradually in stages. It was revealed to the Prophet in 23 years. And you know, through this process of strengthening the heart, there are situations that will arise, and dealing with them with fresh revelations is a means of strengthening the heart of the believers, and the most importantly the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also from the wisdom is that this way renders the Quran easy for the people to memorize and to understand and to act accordingly, because people will read it and recite it gradually and in stages, parts after parts, and this is easier. And this is in accordance with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا, as in Surah Al-Isra 17:106. And it is a Quran which we have divided into parts. Why? In order that you might recite it to men at intervals. And we have revealed it by stages in 23 years. Third benefit, or third wisdom, motivating the resolution and the determination so that people accept what is sent down and execute the commands, and so that people yearn eagerly for the sending down of the verses, especially at times when this is much needed, as in the case of the verses of Al-Ifk, the slander against the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the believers, Aisha, and also concerning the li'an, the oath taken between the wife and her husband, when he accuses his wife of committing illegal sexual intercourse, al-li'an, that of cursing. Fourthly, the graduation in tashri', meaning the revelation came down gradually. The laws, the legislations came in a gradual form, step by step, leading people to the stage of perfection, as it is the case with the verses concerning the alcoholic drinks. People were used to drink alcohol. People were raised on drinking alcohol then, and they were accustomed to the drinking of alcohol then, and it would have been difficult for them to face direct prohibition and immediate prohibition completely and at once. So the legislation came gradual regarding the alcoholic beverages or drinks. First, it came in the following form, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 219. Examine carefully the graduation, how it took place concerning the prohibition of alcoholic drinks. They ask you, O Muhammad, concerning alcoholic drink and gambling. Say, in them is a great sin and some benefit for men. But the sin of them is greater than their benefit. In this verse, there is the preparation of the souls to accept the prohibition, since the intellect entails that people should not indulge in something whereby the sin of it is greater than the benefit. And here he didn't say Allah didn't say that the sin of them is more than their benefit. He didn't say is more, because the matter relates to the quality, not the quantity. The matter revolves around the quality and not the quantity, and that's why he said Akbar, greater than their benefit. This is the first revelation concerning, this is the preparation. The second revelation came in the following saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next step was in the following verse. In Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 43. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. O you people, approach not the salah when you are in a drunken state until you know the meaning of what you say, of what you utter. So in this verse now, there is the exercise to relinquish the drinking during some times, and these times are the times of salah. So there is a temporal relinquishing. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ, until you know the meaning of what you say. And in this there is evidence that السكران لا يعلم ما يقول, that the drunk does not know what he says. This is a proof that the drunk does not know the meaning of what he says. So therefore, if a drunk person divorces his wife or his wives, or he allocates a certain part of his wealth as an endowment, this is not to be executed legally, because he doesn't know what he says. The like of the drunk is the one who is intensively angry, in an intense state of anger. He doesn't know what he says, the meaning of what he says, because of the intense state of anger. And the benefit also, yes, of course. So if a person in a strong state of anger divorces his wife, then the divorce is not executable, because he's like the drunk. Also, what could be taken also from this verse is that the people should know what they utter when they pray. And this cannot really be the case except when the heart is present. So in this exercise, therefore, there is an exercise in this verse to relinquish the drinking during the certain time, and this particular time is the salah. The third revelation in this respect, in this gradual step-by-step prohibition, is the revelation which came in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 90. قال الله تعالى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول واحذروا فإن توليتم فاعلموا إنما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين. Oh, you believe intoxicants, all kinds of alcoholic drinks, gambling, al-ansab. What are al-ansab? These are the altars where people used to slaughter for other than Allah, on them. Or it also includes all that which is worshipped besides besides Allah. And al-azlam, these are arrows for seeking luck or decision. These are an abnormation of Satan handiwork. So avoid strictly that abnormation in order that you may be successful. And what's the meaning of success in Islam? The Islamic meaning of success is attaining what is legally required and being saved from that which is dreadful, and that is the fire of hell and the punishment. This is the success. So here in these verses now, the prohibition, strict prohibition, in all times, at all times, after the souls were prepared gradually and during certain times. So this gradual process is one of the wisdoms in having the Quran sent down in stages. Similarly, the graduation and the gradual matters concerning enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, it's a must in our times. The Shaykh rahimahullah added, it is a must in our times to resort to this issue of gradual application of ordering what is right and forbidding what is wrong with people, especially in changing that which is munkar, which is wrong. And we remember from the hadith concerning this gradual application of the sharia, in the hadith where some people conditioned that if they will accept Islam, they will not pray. The Prophet ﷺ accepted this from them, and he said, إِذَا أَسْلَمُوا صَلُّوا. If they accept Islam, they will pray. But now we can't say to people, some people who only pray, for example, 3 times during the day and leave 2, we can't tell them, stay on what you are. However, we call them to do the entire prayers. However, concerning the taghir al-munkarat, changing the wrong, then we go for that in graduation. Here there is a point of benefit concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, innama al-khamru wal-maysiru, and O you believe, intoxicants, gambling, and al-ansab and al-azlam, rijs. Here it means najasa, filth. Rijs here refers to najasa, from the abomination. And najasa is of 2 types, physical and non-physical, hissi wa ma'nawi, non-physical, non-tangible or intangible. Here therefore it says an abomination of what? Satan handiwork. And this is therefore non-physical in essence. The evidence is in the fact that, for example, al-ansab, or I'm sorry, the gambling, mentioned before also, gambling, and which is mentioned after al-khamr. Is it physical? It's filth. Is there a physical, is the physical meaning intended il al-ansab? No. All of that is ma'nawi, non-physical. And similarly in al-azlam, النجاسة here in these are معنوية non-physical, and there is no evidence, the Sheikh said رحمه الله, that الخمر is physically نجس filth. And having something prohibited does not mean or entail najasa just because it is prohibited. Poison is haram, but poison is not filth. Al-khamr was declared, the intoxicants were declared unlawful, and it was in the pots of the Sahaba, of the companions. They didn't wash their pots, nor did the Prophet ﷺ order them to wash it. And they spilled the alcoholic beverages or drinks in the streets of Medina. And something physically filthy cannot be allowed to be spilled in the streets of the Muslims. And there also are other evidences, and of course there is a difference of opinion regarding this aspect of whether the intoxicants are physically impure or not, but as you have heard, this was the opinion which is presented to you by our Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, and his proofs, alhamdulillah, and his evidences are very strong. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this effort from me and your effort as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Shaykh rahimahullah abundantly for this effort of his. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.